Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 65, Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan, text number 16.
Sankarshanasta Krishnasya. Sandeshai Hridayam Gamai. Santvayam Asa Bhagavan. Nana Nuna Yakovida. Sankarshanasta Krishnasya. Sandeshai Hridayam Gamai. Santvayam Asa Bhagavan. Nana Nunaya Kovida. Sankarshanasta Bhakrishnasya. Sandeshai Hridayam Gamai. Santvayam Asa Bhagavan. Nana Nunaya Kovida. Sankarshanaha.
Sankarshanaha.
Lord Balaram, the supreme attractor.
Lord Balaram, supreme attractor.
Taha.
Taha.
Them. Krishnasya.
Krishnasya.
Of Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Sandeshai.
Sandeshai.
By the confidential messages.
By the confidential messages.
Hridayam.
Hridayam.
The heart.
The heart.
Gamai.
Gamai.
Touching.
Touching.
Santvayam.
Santvayam.
Asa.
Asa.
Console.
Console.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Lord.
Supreme Lord.
Nana.
Nana.
Of various kinds.
Of various kinds.
Anunaya.
Anunaya.
In conciliation.
In conciliation.
Kovidaha.
Kovidaha.
Expert.
Expert. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the attractor of all, being expert at all kinds of conciliation, consoled the gopis by relating to them the confidential messages Lord Krishna had sent with him. These messages deeply touched the gopis' heart. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the following verse from the Sri Vishnu Purana 5.24.20, which describes the message Lord Balaram brought from Krishna for the gopis.
Sandeshai sama madurai prema garbhai ragarbhitai ramena shvasita gopya krishna syati manoharai.
Which means, Lord Balaram consoled the gopis by giving them Lord Krishna's most charming messages, which expressed sweet conciliation, which were inspired by his pure love for them, which were without a tinge of pride. Srila Jiva Goswami also comments that the use of the name Shankarshan here implies that Balaram attracted Lord Krishna to appear in the mind, and in this way showed Sri Krishna to the gopis. Thus Balaram consoled Sri Krishna's beloved girlfriends. Stop there for a second. Interesting. Balaram, he's also the original spiritual master. And here it's indicating that he attracted Lord Krishna to appear in the minds of the gopis. So that's also the same situation that happens to devotees. By following the sadhana bhakti, there's a word for that, it's called spurti. One of my favorite words. This is a picture here of spurti, the picture behind Lord Chaitanya, that's spurti. Okay, then second paragraph is, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Lord Krishna sent various messages. Some instructed the gopis in transcendental knowledge. Others were conciliatory, and still others revealed the Lord's power. Besides its given meaning, the word ridayam gatam gatama gatimai also indicates these messages were confidential. Om Agyanatminam Sajina Janatalakaya Taksumri Tanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvasa Patambojo Radha Madana Mohano. So I was born, first birth, by my parents, which is considered the same as an animal birth. It's in darkness of the transcendental signs of Krishna consciousness. But my spiritual master, who gave me a second birth, he opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my obeisances unto him. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam that we're on now is the 10th canto to Samam Bonam. And it's like the PhD level of understanding Krishna consciousness. Every one of these words has many prerequisites established before one can even understand the vocabulary and what the words mean. And it more or less began in the Bhagavad Gita, our preliminary understanding, where Krishna, the first thing that he says to Arjuna is never there was a time that you did not exist, nor me, nor any of the kings here. Never there'll be a time when you're not existing. So that first instruction is to give us an understanding that if we think we're something temporary, we're making a mistake. We're inattentive. So if one is not inattentive while hearing, the inattention while hearing produces, that's a mistake. And it causes an illusion. So the very next verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that just like the embodied soul, we're considered, Krishna's establishing, he's coming yada yada yadarmasha, to establish this transcendental science, different than religion as a type of faith. This is a transcendental science that's descending from the spiritual world, personally by Krishna, and he says, Dehi no smiñata dehe kumaram yoganam jara. He says, you don't just have to take my word for it, that you're eternal. You can also see that you've already changed bodies. You had a little baby body. Where is it now? It doesn't exist anymore. Did it ever actually exist? So it immediately establishes that there's two classes. There's the temporary and there's eternal, sat. There's asat and asat. So this, we're to, because this is a participatory process of self-realization, you're realizing, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the 8.3, he says, the eternal nature is called the self. So we're to understand that there's a situation going on where there's an illusion, which we refer to as Maya, and this Maya is mostly made up of the modes of nature, and it puts one in an idea that he's the body, the bodily conception of life. We're all affected by that, and that's called a designation, because if you're eternal, that means 100 years ago, you are also somebody. Just like if you pass the cemetery on the way here, suppose someone said, oh, that's who you were in your last life, the name that's on this stone here. Okay, all the problems that you had, all the different things, what is the significance? Well, maybe it would be kind of interesting, but in another 100 years, in another 1,000 years, another 10,000 years, you'll still be here, but all these bodies are gone. So in the science of Krishna consciousness, we're learning how to separate, but Krishna consciousness is a change in consciousness only. That's all that we're doing. We're changing our consciousness. That's who we are. We're becoming enlightened in the science of Krishna consciousness. So it has three different stages. One is we get this information given to us, the shastric information, which is something like a map. It's a map of how to direct your consciousness, how your consciousness is in different situations. And then by reflection and implication, applying it, you actually go somewhere. Just like if you have a map, that's all right, but still you need to drive. And as you drive, the map is actually very important. We all have maps, but they're probably in a drawer or a glove compartment. They're not really significant. You know, maybe if you're taking the trip, you take the map out. But if you're not on the journey, you don't take it out. So this information is meant to be applied at every moment. So then you would think, well, is it important? I mean, I'm only doing what's important. What's important today? Did you pay your bills? You know, there's a list of things that all of us have. So Srila Prabhupada would encourage us with an urgency that this human form of life, there's 8,400,000 species of life, and this human form of life is very short. So in fact, we don't know when it. Does anybody have a contract? You're going to live to 100 or 90 or 80 or you know, you can get an astrological thing to say you're going to live so long, but that doesn't always work if you do a statistic on the people that are in the cemetery and what their charts were. It doesn't line up all the time. We don't know. So the point is that there's an urgency not to waste any time. And that urgency is an indication of your intelligence. Just like there's Krishna, I'm putting words in his mouth, but there's first class intelligence, second class, and third class intelligence. So sometimes I think, in my vernacular, that first class intelligence is we can do it the easy way. That's first class intelligence. Second class intelligence is, or we can do it the hard way, where you're going to have to experience it yourself. And third class, so first class intelligence means if you hear it, then you do it. Okay, this place is temporary, it's full of misery, you're suffering at every moment. Here's your opportunity to go back to Godhead, and back to Godhead, when your consciousness is purified, you live in an eternal state of ananda, a blissful knowledge, and eternally having all the desires that you have right now, which are pervertedly reflected through the ignorance of the modes of nature that can never satisfy you. When one hears about that, he becomes excited. This is very excited. We've waited a long time for this opportunity. So in this verse here, two more verses. So this information, when one practices the science of Krishna consciousness, he understands more and more. Every day you come, you understand a little bit more. And that enables you to understand even more. And there's a verse that I sometimes quote as 1511 from the Bhagavad Gita. 1511 is the endeavoring transcendentalist. So as soon as you understand, okay, I'm not this body, I'm the consciousness. The Vedic culture, Veda meant knowledge. Knowledge in the Vedic way of looking at it is what is matter and what is spirit. So immediately the whole culture was based on understanding what is matter, temporary, what is spirit, eternal, your spirit. So everything was based on that knowledge. That was the underlying point, that everything was based on what is matter, what is spirit. So you understood, okay, I'm spirit and I have a body. This body is temporary, it's caused me problems. There's birth, death, old age, and disease. There's miseries of my own mind. There's miseries inflicted on me by other living entities, from humans to mosquitoes to ants. We got plenty. And then there's the miseries of the nature. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's raining, it's not raining. So this world is like that. So the Vedic culture was, in the human form of life, now, atato, brahma jignas, now is the time. Now is the time to take this up and perfect your life. No more birth, death, disease, or old age. So as soon as one even theoretically accepts this, he begins the transcendental. I mean, it makes sense. You can see already I've changed bodies. One has to just take that one moment. Maybe we can take it now. Just take a one moment to think, okay, I had a little kid's body. I can remember my first day of school. I remember the tests. I remember elementary school. There were some tough times, different things. I can remember that, but that body's not here anymore. There's not one part of that body that's left, but I'm still here. So one has to see that. Take a moment to grasp it, because this, you have to participate. It's not something that you just hear and write it down. You participate and you think, is that, that's actually right. I can see that. So that starting of seeing that, that's the beginning of understanding this transcendental science. So what is the consciousness like when it's not any longer being covered by the matter? Matter's covering our consciousness in the form of material desires, the identification with the body, and it's projecting the way that in the Sankhya philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it explains that just like there's gold, you take there's a gold mine. So you take the gold out of the mine and you form it into a, let's say, a bracelet. Is the gold still there in the bracelet? Yes. The gold is there in the mine. The gold is there in the bracelet. And then the bracelet gets old and it's worn out and they melt it back down again and the gold is still there. So the gold is there in all the different times of manifestation. So just like God exists, Aham Eva Sa Eva Gray, before the creation, that's the substance. Then this material creation comes into being, is still just God in a particular aspect for a particular purpose. And at the end, when the annihilation comes, he'll still be there. So the fundamental element is always the all-pervading energy of the Lord. And as one comes to recognize his different energies, the living entity's responsibility is to elevate himself out of the illusion, which he's forced into because of a lack of service attitude. So the service attitude is actually a catalytic element that will separate the ignorance from knowledge. And as we apply this, the soul, you come to understand who we are eternally, and we can apply that in every aspect of our life so that we come out of the illusion, out of, and one of the terms I use quite often is designations, that you're designated, like the gold bracelet is designated as a bracelet. But if you bring it into a jeweler, he puts it on the scale. He's not giving any consideration mostly to the bracelet. He's weighing the gold in it, right? So these designations, we don't, after a certain period of time, we don't see the designations. We see the gold. We see Krishna, who's compared to the gold in this situation, and the living entity, and the relationship that they have. And we also, in this world, we also see how the material energies coming and going, manifesting, unmanifesting, how it works. We have the exact process of how the creation takes place. Just like, for a simple example, this body is called a yantra machine, and it has senses. You see something. So when you see something, it delivers that thought to the mind. You're awake then. Otherwise, you're not seeing it. So when you see something, then your mind says, I want it, I don't want it, accept it and rejection. Now, if you want it, then it delivers that message to the intelligence. It's got a little conveyor system, and it networks it over to the intelligence. And the intelligence says, okay, here's a plan how we can get it, to secure it, call it our own, it's now mine, I've got it. So that particular cycle. And then later on, it actually wasn't quite as good as I thought when I got it home. But they got a new model now, so I'll get the new improved one. And no payments till next lifetime. So this is called samsara. And we have prayers where we address this concept. One should get the concept firmly established, condense it into one word. And then when he says the one word samsara, it can have the meaning behind it to the senses, the sense objects, the mind. I compare it to a treadmill. People know what everybody knows what treadmills are nowadays. Walking machines, running machines, they call them treadmills. Okay, so where do you actually go on one of these treadmills? You don't go anywhere. But, right? You're just spinning around. But this particular samsara treadmill, you can fill in as many details as you want on the chain links, on the power that you're running, but you're really not going anywhere. But in the old days, before things were so disconnected, treadmills used to have a PTO. That means a power takeoff, shaft, I don't know, PTS, output, power PTO. Tractors have them now. And they hook up attachments to them. So they used to have it where they would, just like with the oxes that would run, go around in a circle on a meti. They have a pole that they would go around. So we know the word meti, the pole from Griha, meti, where the pole of your life is spinning around. This, you're not going anywhere also, but you're going in a circle. So anyway, this, the treadmill is connected with a chain to another spinning apparatus right around your head. Okay, you can picture a little chain going up and something spinning there. And it has three boots on it. A boot, you know, a regular old fashioned, good solid boot. And as you're running, this thing is turning this top pulley with three boots on it. And the boots are moved into place right where your head is. So as you're running very quickly, this machine is turning and it's booting you in the head. And those are the threefold miseries. Graphic, isn't it? Okay, so when we say samsara, you build your own graphic design, you know, the design something of what this material world is like, but they have the carrot. I don't know if carrots work anymore. Maybe it's a new car, or you have to replace carrots, kind of old-fashioned. I something, iPad, I want, I suffer. And we have one of these, and we just, so that's samsara. So that's, we get to understand how the material energy is set up. And this message that Balaram brings, this is the first part of that. But as you become purified, just like I was trying to get to 1511, that we're endeavoring transcendentalists. As soon as one accepts just that first part, never there was a time you didn't exist. As soon as you accept that, you're actually liberated. It'll take some time to it fructifies, but that's the seed, that you just understand that one point, and you can see your consciousness is not made of matter. You're conscious of something, but the consciousness itself is the viewer. It's not the object being viewed. We're the ones that are witnessing this field of activities. So we get to see it, and one has to find that station in himself. He has to take a little bit of reflective thinking, and then it could be called other things like meditation. But you reflect on that. In fact, the yogis of yore, long time ago, just like, for instance, a blind person hears better. Isn't that the way we've been told? Because that one sense is turned off. All the energy that was going into their vision is now channeled into their hearing. And their hearing or some other ability is greatly increased, isn't it? That's a common understanding, I think. So what happens if it all was channeled into the hearing and then they shut off the hearing? Then what would happen? Now it takes all, this is the yoga system. They would take each one of their senses and basically turn them off, learn how to turn off the input from their senses and take the consciousness, just like how the hearing got so acute when the vision was removed. So then each time it becomes more and more intensified, so they have consciousness without any sensual input. And then they could focus on the relationship that they have with God, who's situated in their heart as their friend and director through the wanderings in material energy. And it was a process that took quite a long time, because there's a problem in doing these different, you don't get much cooperation from your mind and senses when you try to do these type of activities. So the endeavoring transcendentals in this age is we chant Hare Krishna, which is the fulcrum, the pivot point of everything in your existence, is your service attitude versus your overlording mentality. Everything belongs, to Krishna, but when we see it as an object for our enjoyment. So Krishna explains it. You think about that. You contemplate on that object, and all of a sudden it starts to become very attractive to you. So then the thinking, once it becomes attractive to you, now it stands out, and you start to feel about this. And what are you feeling? I want it. thinking, feeling, and then your plan to get it is willing. But in another series of procedures that take place, contemplating the objects, one develops an attachment. That attachment, he wants it. He wants to possess it. He wants to enjoy it. He wants to control it. And that's this material world. So we recognize this. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we're saying, let me use it in your service. So instead of contemplating an object, we see it now as Krishna's energy to be used in his service, called yukta eyes. Instead of having material eyes, you have yukta eyes. And that immediately gives you your real eyes. And so you have real eyes. When you yuktaize your vision, then you have realized vision and a realized knowledge. You're actually seeing reality by using it in Krishna's service. So as you do that, more and more your credit score goes up, and you're allowed more. I don't want to get off the subject too far, but there's a verse, certainly that heart is steel framed, that in spite of experiencing ecstasy, Krishna gives you more and more happiness as your Kevala Ananda Khan. You follow this path, which is simply blissful, and you become charmed on Kandarpa Koti, that one becomes charmed by Krishna. He's actually the most charming person. So in this verse here, which would be nice to talk about, is he's consoling the gopis. Now the gopis are the topmost personalities that think of Krishna in such a loving way. Like when you think of someone, there's an emotion that you're experiencing. If I say someone's name, anybody's name that you know, you'll experience something. You don't even have to say it. Other people may be able to read it in you, but when you say someone's name, actually your body goes through different changes. You'll sweat, just like they have lie detector tests. They say something and they can pick up from your skin how you're reacting to that. So it's the same way. So when we say someone's name, there's a particular feeling that we have. Some people we like, some people we don't like. It's usually covered by ignorance of the bodily conception of life. But in the ultimate issue, where to say Krishna's name? This Srimad Bhagavatam, it kicks out all material religion and propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees that are thoroughly pure at heart. In fact, so many of the different points I was going to make. This particular point, because of this is confidential knowledge, there's 9-1 Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna gives preliminary understanding. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. So here's some qualification. Sometimes we think I'm interested, I'm not interested. Actually, that's just the monitor, the mind, playing back through the material energy your enviousness level, which is programmed down 2 or 3 levels on, if you're in a computer, there's an application, and then there's the operating system. There's all these levels. So what we see in our mind isn't actually just what we're thinking. It's running through an application, which is our karma. And there's also the operating system of Krishna's all-pervading different potencies that are interacting under his directions. So when we have a thought, it's already someone who's trained in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness can see what were those things that produces that thought. It says that they're trained in the psychic movements of the living entities. So like that. They can actually just, they could hook you up to a lie detector test to check your, with the integrity. That would be a good thing. How to check your integrity. They ask you some questions, hook you to a lie detector test, and then check your integrity. Oh, well. So here it's just saying, we do it another way. It's just called utsahan, enthusiasm. How much we are understanding will give us that enthusiasm to go on. Like just the people that are here in this room, years and years, most of us, we keep coming back. How is it that we're coming back? That indicates determination by understanding. Like you're getting a little bit today, a little tad, a drop of the ocean. But yet, if it makes sense, because we get this information through the parampara system, it's never been concocted on. The living entity in the material existence, he makes up stuff. He thinks, well, I think it could be like this. But when the manufacturer gives you the manual that tells you, here's how I engineered it, then you know exactly what it is. So the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's coming down in the cyclic succession. So there's no doubt about it. The only doubt is how to purify our own heart in order to be able to accept it, Adoshvara Sadhusanga, by association of devotees that have taken it, this path. They get that. And then the verse, third time I'm going to try to get it, 15:11, it says, the endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. It's not difficult to see. But those whose minds are not developed, who have not situated in self-realization, cannot see what's taking place, although they try to. So there's the kind of the prerequisite that if you begin, you start that, your credit score goes up. And everything that you do, it's called penance, tapasya. And basically, the penance and tapasya means within the bodily conception of life, you're handed a particular diagram of how in this lifetime you're going to think. You're going to think because, let's say, if you're in a dog body, what's the dog body going to think like? He's going to think just like a dog. It's quite obvious, isn't it? If he's a dog, he's going to think like it. Every once in a while, you get a strange one who thinks he's a cat or something. But that's an anomaly. That's not the normal thing. This dog thinks he's a cat. Or you get a hypnotist to get somebody to make a noise like a chicken or something. But generally speaking, when you get a particular body, the mind that comes with that body has you to think of a certain way. So you're getting pushed. There's a verse 3.5 in the Bhagavad Gita and 3.27. Both of these verses point out that you're going to be pushed around by your senses and your mind and under the modes of nature operating system. And that's called the material samsara, which we've already gone through with the treadmill. Okay, and then you get to like 5.8 through 9. 5, 8, and 9, which says once you've understood how you're different from this body, then you can be in divine consciousness. And even though all seeing the... Oh, you can put it up? 5, 8, 9? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 8. Okay, I'll make it easy. This is the other situation. This is the transcendentalist. Because once he's understood the difference, he can separate himself. And it says, a person in divine consciousness, what's he do? Although engaged in seeing, so he's seeing things, he's hearing things, he's touching things, smelling things, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, always knows within himself that actually, he does nothing at all, because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. So this is a little preview of coming attraction that you really can't fully understand this, but you can experience it by, that was the next verse in 9.2. We read 9.1. 9.2 is, how do you say 9-2? Raja Vijay Raja Guyam. What's the next one? Pravitra, which is what purified the Shayam Uttamam. So it says this knowledge that we're giving here today is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because what's it do? It gives direct perception of the self by realization. And he already went through what the self was. That's your eternal nature. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So this is an opportunity of a million lifetimes, of at least 8 million. It's not just an opportunity of one lifetime. So it takes some time to wake up. When you try to grasp the enthusiasm that we should be experiencing, we hear this, we immediately think, how come I'm not experiencing, like, inside I should be jumping for joy? But that was earlier. That was the kirtan. That's when you get an opportunity to jump for Krishna, jump for joy, where you're actually getting a full taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. So everything that comes up in our life now, we can utilize, realize, seeing that this is a bodily conception of life, the difficulty. If one of those boots hits you square on the treadmill, remember the treadmill with the boots? So if you get one of those, boom, and you're reeling a little bit, you can think, okay, this is an indication, it's trying to get my attention, that the bodily conception of life is going to be a painful situation. So that's second class. Remember, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. So the hard way is you keep running on that treadmill, and what's happening? Boom, 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 boom. Then you keep getting booted in the face with the treadmill of the threefold miseries. But you can stop, you can unplug the fan, you can unplug the treadmill, which, what is the energy that's propelling that treadmill? It's you. It's our material desire based on overlording material energy, trying to become the enjoyer of that carrot or cheese, who moved the cheese. So simply by chanting Hare Krishna, the treadmill stops and the threefold miseries exist no longer. Is that verse 2 of the Bhagavatam, kicking out all materially motivated religion, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality, distinguished from the temporary illusion, for the welfare of all. It's understood by those who are pure in heart, just like 9-1, it was Anasuyave in this verse, it's Nirmatsara, Satam. So you give up that desire to take someone else's property, Krishna's property, for yourself, because how can a thief be happy? He's stealing something else, and the person had security cameras on. I mean, everybody steals thinking they're going to get away with it, isn't it? If you knew you were going to be caught, would you still steal? If you walked in and there's a big guy at the door with a camera and a gun, and he's watching you the whole time, you may be able to curb that tendency. So when you understand that Krishna exists, I remember when I used to, when I was in school, I'm a little older probably than most people here, we used to have the Lord's Prayer in school. And then I think it was around 62 or so, they took it out of the school, or it was maybe 58, so, a long time ago. And ever since they took the prayer out of the school system, I said the school systems don't have a prayer. Okay, that's just using it backwards. Because if you understand there's a security system, infallible security system watching you the day, the night, what are some of them, Pushkar? You know, all the directions. There's a whole list of... Oh, yeah.
How does it start?
I'm lucky I can't even remember. So there's all these directions which are the witnesses. It probably has witness in it. You're being witnessed. So when you recognize that and you just accept it, it's going to curb those tendencies. And then your intelligence becomes sharper. The treadmill stops spinning so strongly. So anything that happens, you can think, Krishna is so kind. He's giving me just a token instead of that boot landing square on, you know, really throwing you for a loop. It just glances over you, and you get to see, now I still have some attachment. Krishna is so kind to let me work on this so I can come back home sooner than later. That's the easy way. See, so first class is you just hear it and say, okay, that makes sense to me. I don't want to suffer anymore. Just like in prison, first-time prisoners, they give them a light sentence. Did you get the idea that crime's going to be a problem for you? And they give it up. Second class is they come in and they get out and they do it again. They go back in again. Judge is a little harder on them because they already knew. And then they did it a third time. Now they're called repeat offenders. So we have a lot of mercy from Lord Nityananda that ordinarily you wouldn't even get a chance for parole with what we've done. But by his mercy, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of Krishna, the mood of Radharani, by the mercy of Prabhupada, following orders of Bhaktisiddhanta, we're getting a parole where we get to live, at least while we're chanting and associating with devotees, that receptive mood that we have when we hear this. Most of us aren't in a challenging mood. Sometimes people come and they say, well, what about this? What about that? But because we're simply hearing punya shravanam kirtanam, our destinies are all changing immediately, right? Just like as soon as you make a turn, you're going in a different direction. As soon as you hear your punya shravanam kirtanam, I remember I chanted Hare Krishna once in 1968. I didn't even remember about it. But now when I think back on it, all the things in my destiny started changing right away. I didn't join until 71. Got initiated 72. But now that I think back, so as soon as you're a little submissive, Krishna, he'll start helping us so much. We don't recognize it. It takes a long time. In fact, the verse, if I would have talked about it more, I had a slightly different class on sporting, on how to recognize. See, at first, the all-pervading security cameras are seen as something like a police force. But Krishna is actually... In the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam, Krishna, he says, I'm in everything, and at the same time, I'm not in everything. And just like in the Sri Upanishad, it's explained that Krishna is far away, and at the same time, he's very near as well. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, Krishna becomes nearer and nearer. And in fact, he's always with us. That part he's doing. Our part is to recognize how he's always with us, develop our relationship, and have that relationship fructify into, there's different stages, adoshvada sangha, by associating. Then one becomes attached. He becomes free from these unwanted designations, and now he can recognize his identity. And he gets nishtha, steadiness in self-realization. And then the taste is so wonderful because one or two stages right around there, Krishna is non-different from his name. He's non-different from his books. He's non-different. Well, actually, after a while, he's non-different. You're living out of duality. Duality means there's two things. But instead of duality, if you take one of them away, what do you have? One thing. So they call that non-dual substance, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So we're coming out of the duality, which is a nice purport. I'm running a little late, but I think that clock could be slow. Did someone reset the clock? Oh, okay. Because the one over there is... It was 10 minutes slow earlier, but I think someone reset it. All right, I'm just going to read 1.5.12, the last part of the purport. the verse is nice too. The verse is the steadily devoted soul. So this is what we're talking about. We recognize that we're eternal, we're changing bodies, The body's different from us. We're coming out of the illusion. We're having our consciousness to be affected only by the divine energy and not the mundane energy. Steadily devoted soul obtains unadulterated peace. Nice byproduct. Because he offers the results of all activities to me. That's a service attitude. He's not stealing anymore, thinking there's no cameras around. He's come to understand Krishna's all-pervasive feature. And he's free from that tendency to steal everything from Krishna and be always worried about when it's going to get caught. Okay. Because he offers that. Offers you can take a lot of time with, too, because it's an offering of love. The result of activities. Whereas a person who's not in union, yoga, with the divine, who's greedy for the fruits of his labor, he's running fast on that treadmill trying to get everything he can, becomes entangled. That's the glue boards. You know the glue boards? They use them for rodents.
Yeah.
And they stick one paw into this gluey substance, and they can't get their foot out. So their intelligence says, oh, I know how I can get it out. I'll stick my other one in to pull the first one out. What happens? That one's stuck too. So the living entity, the glue is this false ego of identifying yourself to enjoy this matter. So he thinks, I'm a little stuck with this, all these attachments. I think if I just made a little bit more money, then I could become renounced. Because then I could buy something and I wouldn't need all this other stuff, so I could live more simply. So he sticks his other paw in it. And this way, the living entity becomes entangled. So here, Prabhupada calls it profit calculation for sense gratification. So it says, all that exists is a product. I'm at the last part of the purport, about eight lines up. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane, no duality. They are transcendental and have no material effect. The treadmill is unplugged. One is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness, but one who is entangled, the glue boards, in profit calculation for sense gratification. Isn't that a wonderful way the Prabhupada words that? Profit calculation for sense gratification cannot have the peace. He's on the treadmill running like anything, and what's happening with that treadmill? Bong, bong, boots are hitting them square on it. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness, realization. You know what the realized were? That's a yukta eyes, then you get realized. Realization, there is no existence besides Krishna, is the platform of peace and fearlessness. You're not jumping, you're on a solid platform. So, a little bit today, all glories of Prabhupada. Is there any questions or comments? I know we're a little late, so. Oh, Cherry Crumb's going to say something. Oh, thank you, Cherry Crumb.
So earlier when you were speaking about the dog, and then you said the dog has a mind too. Any being whatsoever, it's when the human make his consciousness, whatever being, then he gets that body. So in other words, his mind becomes dog-like, and he gets a dog body. Or his minds become lion-like, then he gets it.
Yum yum api smaram bhavam, whatever state one attains. And Prabhupada, when he had the authority to speak like that, he says, if you think like a dog, then you're going to get the body of a dog. So the human form of life is so uniquely different that it has the ability to change its consciousness. The dog will never change its consciousness. He'll always be thinking like a dog. But if a human picks to think like a dog, then he goes into that species of life in the transmigration from yum yum and peace maram bhavam. And there are plenty of dogs. It's not that there's a shortage. Nobody's thinking like that. No, they're quite popular. And cats. And there's 8,400,000 species. So he says if the human to trikalagya, person, someone who can see past, present, future. He says, if you use your human form of life to do the same things that the animals do, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, if you got an opposable thumb or if you don't, they're saying that you're the same. Your consciousness hasn't actually, that the human form of life starts, not when you're born, but it starts with a tato brahma jignas. When you're using the human consciousness to inquire, what is that absolute realm? Why are these three kayami, tapa, kayami kana, tapa, choy? Santan Goswami says, who am I? How can I be benefited if I don't know why these threefold miseries are causing me so much trouble? And people call me a learned person, and I think I am. But just see. Why are these threefold ways? Why is that boot? Why, when you go after something, just functioning in this world in that treadmill, why do these threefold miseries always harass me? Why is my mind disturbed? Why are other living entities harassing me? Why is it that I'm such an uncomfortable condition? Why? That why is the human form of life. The animals can reason, but they can't ask why. So why do I have to die? I don't want to die. My relatives are dying. Everybody's dying. Why? So, by good fortune, Brahmanda Bhumi take on Bhagyavana Jeev, Bhagyavana Jeev. By the good fortune, one gets this opportunity of getting the mercy of Krishna through the mercy of the spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. Hmm? Oh, I didn't say so. I thought you were going to do
it. It would be hard to convince an ordinary person that, you know, the treadmill for getting exercise and the iPhones and using the airplane and travel easily and so forth, that these things are not helpful.
I didn't say they weren't helpful, but I was mentioning about the boot. Can anybody deny the boot? Kick on face with boot. They're not seeing the boot? Go to the pharmaceuticals and see if somebody's not capitalizing on that boot. If you think the pharmaceutical industry is about to close because there's nobody interested in their products, that's just one of them. How about the cosmetic industry? You think that one's just about to be out of business? They have a new cream, anti-aging cream. You just put it on, pay them some money, and all of a sudden you're younger. Or how about the nutritional industry? Take this pill and feel 10 years younger. Think they're closing up? And how many times do the people spend how much money? And then you read in the disclaimer, results may vary in individuals, you know, may vary, you know. So you just have to be a little sober, a little to just look around and see that everybody is suffering. And then, of course, there's the graphic examples, but even if you go to the richest people who have everything, forgot his name already, but he was a famous actor who killed himself, Robin Williams. What was it that he didn't have, he couldn't get? He had everything. See, if you're poor, you can think, if I get something, I'll be happy. But if you have everything, you're the most miserable, because where's your hope now? I mean, you can play the hope card when you don't have something, but once you have it over and over again, well, maybe if I get a younger one. So they usually go through a couple. Huh? What is it? Hopeless, yes. So the hope the devotees have, and realizing it every day, there's something that goes on inside a devotee that puts a smile on his face. Prabhupada, he said, we can tell your disciples, Prabhupada, because they're all bright-faced. And you can pick out, sometimes I travel sometimes in the summertime, and if you're in a crowd, you see somebody and you say, oh, that's a devotee. You can just pick them out because they're bright-faced. Because that's what happens when you become a devotee. It comes through. Thank you for your kind attention and staying so late. Hare Krishna.